This interview is with Steve Meyer, president of Paragon Economics in Des Moines, Iowa. His topic at the National Institute for Animal Agriculture annual meeting was fueling ethanol, implications for livestock producers.
Of course, this is a huge topic of discussion and even controversy within the agriculture industry, in some cases seeming to pit the animal agriculture producers against the crop producers. Are there ways that you see moving forward for the two groups to work together?
Well, it's going to be difficult. We're on opposite sides of a marketplace, and anytime you're on that, what is good for one is bad for the other. In general, I mean, at least in the short run, and so it's not going to be very easy on that, especially over the next 2 or 3 years. And so the other thing, and people need to realize I come from the livestock side of this, and that is that this hasn't been something that's been just driven by a marketplace. It's been driven by a marketplace and a set of government policies that have encouraged the use of corn for ethanol to the tune of about $1.53 a bushel, plus several other subsidies that come in at the state and federal level. And so because of the involvement of the federal government and the fact that we're on opposite sides of the same marketplace, I think it's going to continue to be somewhat controversial. Even though I have to tell you that my belief is that it's a political issue, and that one, on that count, the grain side has already won that battle. And so it's going to be a very difficult one for the livestock business to really counter this in any way. And I think the best thing that we can do is know what's coming and try to manage our businesses in the face of it.
That's a key issue, I guess. And I think what livestock producers are going to face, and a lot of people seem to think, as you said, at least for the next couple of years, this might be kind of a short-term thing. What do you think livestock producers can do, at least over the next couple of years, to try and mitigate some of the of these increased costs?
Well, there's not a lot we can do. I mean, when corn goes up, everything else goes up along with it. So, you know, the guys that were using stale bread and old Fritos and those kind of things to feed livestock, the cost of that went up as well. There's been a lot of talk about DDGS, the distiller's dried grains that comes out of ethanol production, and those are indeed a good feedstuff if you own a cow. They're a decent feedstuff for hogs, but they can't be used at very high rates. Some forecasts out of the Iowa State University that I'll share with the group says that DDGS will be used primarily by the beef industry for as far as we can see, because it's just a better feed there. High fiber content, low quality protein, all the things that are in DDGS are great for cattle and not very good for hogs or chickens. So it is going to change the competitive landscape, I think, among the species, as well as raise costs for all species.
Regarding distillers' grains, of course, like you said, there's problems within the different types of livestock, as well as we've got, I guess, quality issues and consistency issues. Is there any way that you think those can be addressed to help, you know, meet the challenges in the near term?
I have to think that ethanol plants will pay a lot more attention to the consistency of DDGS as we go forward. During the year 2006, ethanol plants didn't have to pay any attention to anything. They were making money hand over fist regardless. Those profit margins have gone down substantially, and when that happens, you're going to have to try to extract some profit out of byproducts, maybe better than you have in the past. So I think they're going to pay a lot more attention to consistency. They're going to try to keep temperatures more stable so that product comes out, that this week's batch is the same as next week's batch, is the same as the next week's batch, or at least closer than it has been in the past. Even consistent DDGS, though, are not very good hog or poultry feed, okay? So I guess that's the point I would make. It's going to be more consistent, and I think they'll do a good job of that. But as the chemical and nutrient makeup of that product right now, it's just not nearly as good for hogs and poultry as it is for cattle. And, you know, maybe there is a way around that with fractionization and those kind of things. But when you're a business that feeds corn for energy, and the ethanol business is about taking the energy out of corn and converting it to ethanol, that means you're probably going to be on the opposite side of something.
You talked about the fact that this is a political issue, the fact that we've got incentives in place for ethanol production for the blender's credit and also the tariff on Brazilian ethanol coming in that's supposed to offset that. both are set to expire within the next couple of years, and both the cattle and hog industries have asked specifically that those not be renewed. As an economist, what do you think the chances are that those are going to be allowed to die and let the ethanol industry function on its own merits?
Well, as an economist, I think they should be allowed to die and let the market decide what we're going to do here. As a citizen, and especially a citizen of the state of Iowa, I think the politics may be quite different than that. I have said many times that I'm not sure we would be in this situation if Iowa wasn't the first step in choosing the next president of the United States every 4 years. And we're back into that thing right now, and most of the candidates who are parading around Iowa believe that ethanol, or saying that ethanol is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I don't think that's going to change. So economically, this is not a business that needs to be subsidized any further. So I don't think we have an infant business anymore. We have a business that can make money because oil prices are substantially higher than they were, and I don't think oil prices are going back down to any great degree. They'll come down some. But so economically, I think they ought to go away, especially as an economist. As I look at the politics of the situation, if we're still involved in the Middle East, with the remembrance of the disruptions that Hurricane Katrina caused, and this very strong national sentiment to become energy independent, I'm not sure they will go away.
The ultimate answer, according to pretty much everybody, to get away from this whole ethanol problem is cellulosic ethanol, and the predictions for when that might come into effect range from 2 years to 10 or more. What do you think?
Well, first, I'm an economist, and I don't know a lot about, you know, I know something about the technology, but I don't know a lot about the science behind that. The concern I have about cellulosic ethanol is that, you know, we've been saying we're one more technological breakthrough away from having cellulosic ethanol cost competitive for about 10 years, and we're still saying it. We've been about 2 or 3 years away from making hog manure not smell for about 10 years, and we haven't gotten any closer. That's my concern about cellulosic. There are a lot of very smart people working on that, and if it can be done and made to be competitive, I think they'll get it done. But, you know, it might be one of those things. There's always a possibility that we cannot produce ethanol as economically competitive from cellulose compared to starch. That may be just a given in this world. It may be like gravity. I'm a firm believer in the ingenuity of the human mind, and there's a lot of money riding on this one, and so I think they'll work very hard at it. But the truth is that we're not much closer now than we have been to making it economically competitive. It's not that we can't make it; it's that we can't make it economically competitively, and so that's going to be the challenge. But my concern and the thing that gives me pause is that we've been saying the same thing for a long time.
A lot of livestock producers also produce grain. We try to, as much as we can, stay together as an agricultural industry, and this has become rather divisive and kind of schizophrenic. How can the livestock producers support an industry that seems to be helping rural America, but at the same time driving their costs up?
Well, I mean, I think livestock producers, and I know the National Pork Producers Council has been very clear that they support the idea of becoming more self-sufficient in energy. They support making ethanol, and they think that an ethanol plant has just as much right to buy a bushel of corn as a pork producer does. Where they kind of get a little concerned is that an ethanol producer gets subsidized to buy that, and now you can go back and say, well, we've subsidized production for a long time, and that's benefited the livestock people. Well, we're still doing that. I guess that's where the concern lies. I'm not so sure this is as good for rural America as people think it is. I know close to my hometown they're building an ethanol plant. It was touted to provide 80 jobs. That plant will use 30 million bushels, roughly 33 million bushels of corn. If that 33 million bushels comes out of the pork industry, it will cost 800 jobs. That's not good for rural America. And my goal is to make sure that we talk about all the facts and not just part of it.
That was Steve Meyer, president of Paragon Economics in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.